season that we are reminded of this incredible word that we hear most often at this time of Emmanuel, God with us. Help us just to wrap our hearts and our heads around this incredibly profound truth that God came to be with us in the person of Jesus. And we'll thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll help our small, finite minds to wrap themselves around this incredible, infinite picture of love from God. And we'll thank you for how you do that in and through us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You be seated. Well, let's take some time in the Word together. Let's turn your Bibles to Matthew. I think it was chapter 2. Is that where we're at? It's on the front of your bulletins there. Yep, Matthew 2, 13 through 23. As we've gone through this Advent season, that just a season of the arrival, the coming of Christ that we prepare for. We talked about how when God shows up, love changes everything, right? Love changes me. Love changes you. It changes our life, our situations. When God shows up, love changes everything. And when love shows up, hope, the second focus of Advent, makes our little world get bigger. When our little world begins to be invaded by God, when he shows up, it becomes something far, far bigger than what our little world would normally have been, because Emmanuel, God came. God came. And last week we found that when God shows up, he turns fear into joy. He turns fear into joy. We found that for Elizabeth and for Mary in those parts of the story. And we'll talk a little more about that today. But today is the Sunday of peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Now, peace is what? What is peace? Peace is, in a simple way, description, it's just the absence of conflict. Peace is just the absence of, something's not right. There's something wrong, conflict, right? And what peace is, we talked about God brings us from fear to joy, right? And we learned that joy is a skill that we have to learn how to return to, right? We have to learn how to return to joy. And what was joy? Joy is the knowledge that I am loved by God. God is with me. There's nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of God. That's the promise that Scripture gives us. Nothing in this world can separate us. And so joy is that I'm loved. God is with me in the midst of whatever this fearful thing I might be going through is. I am loved and God is with me. Peace is returning to that joy. Peace is returning there and saying, this is where I will have that sense that God's with me, right? Now, it's not an absence of concern, right? Peace is not like kind of a numbness where I don't feel anything. Peace is not where we go through something tragic and difficult and we just kind of say, it's okay, it's all fine. Put on this plastic smile and just pretend that I'm not hurting inside. That's not peace. It's not the absence of concern or worry. Peace is being able to return to our joy of knowing that I'm loved by God in the midst of our concern or our problem. It's knowing, I don't like this. Do you know you can tell God that? You can tell God, I don't like this, God, at all. He's able to hear that. He's got big enough shoulders. And sometimes his response is, let me take care of that for you. Sometimes his response is, I know, I understand that you don't like this, but I'm going to walk with you through it. It's returning to that sense that God is God and he still loves me in the midst of this, whatever it is that you're going through. I went through a laundry list of struggles and trials that our people, and I'm sure there's another dozen of things that I didn't mention, but that you're holding in your heart. I've got things that I didn't mention from my own life. It's knowing that it's God's still with me in this, and it's not an absence of seeking direction either. Peace is not just saying, okay, well, whatever, God, I'm just going to, whatever happens, you know, it is what it is, kind of, seems like I've said that a lot lately. And sometimes it is what it is. We don't know why things happen, but that doesn't mean I just have to sit there and say, all right, whatever, I don't know what's going to happen. There is, returning to joy is also returning to the God that brings that joy and saying, Lord, what are you doing in the midst of this? Is this something that I need to pray through that you're going to change? Is this something that I need to trust you in and that you're going to help me to walk through? It doesn't mean that I just take whatever it is without seeking after God in the midst of it. We say, Lord, show me what you're doing. Lead me, guide me. God has a plan for each and everything that is happening in our life. Did you know that? Now, does God intend for each and everything that happens in your life to happen? I know this is a question that people kind of scratch their heads at. Sometimes they say, well, God's in control, right? So God, if God's in control of everything, then certainly he made this happen. But that's not true. God did not intend for sin. He never intended for that. He never intended for the pain of illness and sickness. That was as a result of sin entering into the world and our bodies becoming no longer immortal. Those were not things that God ever intended for us. But yet they're a part of our lives, right? Does that mean that God's wringing his hands at our troubles and struggles and saying, I don't know what to do with this? This is that dynamic that our little tiny brains cannot wrap their heads around. That God is over in and through everything that happens. And yet, there are things that happen in this life that God didn't intend. And somehow, the one truth that we do know and can come out of that with is Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Somehow, some way, God is able to work whatever's going on in your life for the good of those who love him, for you. It's more than my brain can figure out, and I'll tell you, it's more than yours can too, even though you're probably smarter than me. It's these are the times we have to say, you're doing something in the midst of this. Even if you take, God said for the life of Joseph, right? He was sold into slavery, right? He went through prison and all false accusations, all kinds of things. And yet in the end, he was able to say, hey, to his brothers who sold him into slavery, you intended this for evil, but God intended it for good. Somehow, God is able to work all things out for our good. And that's, in the midst of that, we seek his direction. So whatever's going on in our lives, we don't just sit back and say, all right, whatever, God. We say, Lord, what are you doing? Help me to walk in what you're trying to do in my life or through me to be a blessing to somebody else. Show me and help me to see that. And peace is not an absence of obedience either. We don't just say, well, nothing I can do about that. We walk in the everyday stuff of the faith walk in obedience. It's not, peace is not a passive thing, in other words. Peace is still active. Peace still seeks to follow God, to seek him, to worship him, to obey him, to go where God is calling us, even in the midst of our really hard trials. Was it, Scott was reminding me about Sybil, one of our dear sisters that went home. I don't know, how long ago has it been now? She served God tirelessly. All to the very, how old was she when she passed? Just, 90 years old. She was leading music. She would play for funerals. She was leading a church service and a nursing home once a month. I mean, this, I have her little brown, if you go into my office right now, you will find a little brown suitcase about this big, and in it, it has a bunch of music. She played the piano, and that's sitting in my door, right in my office. It's a reminder that God helped me to walk through in peace, in obedience, right to the very end of my life. That's just sitting there in my office, and I see it whenever I come in and out, and there are times when I just need to look at that and go, if Sybil can do it, I can do it. Yeah, peace is not an absence of obedience. Peace is obedience in the midst of our struggles. It's that deep peace and happiness of knowing that you are loved by God and you're never walking alone. Isn't that good? Mary and Joseph had this. They had peace in the midst of their troubles and concerns. They were told what their child was going to prepare the way. Well, actually, Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist, was going to prepare the way for the Lord, right, for the Messiah. No high expectations there. Mary was told about her son. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, Son of God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So your child is going to be king of Israel. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end. This is just a young girl being told this. Scary stuff for her. The Holy Spirit will come on you, Mary, and you will, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Just a young kid that's now pregnant knows that she was never with anybody, and yet here she is pregnant, and is being told by an angel, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. I mean, you know? It said, my eyes have seen your salvation, she prayed later, Mary did, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff. Shortly after that, they took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And Simeon, one of the priests there, looked at the child and said, this child, your child, is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. That's kind of scary. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Mary, a sword will pierce your heart, your soul as well. I mean, that's pretty scary. After the wise men, the magi, came, which, to clarify our typical manger scenes, the magi didn't show up to the manger. They actually showed up probably anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of years after the birth of Christ, when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were. The scripture says they went back to Galilee after they dedicated him. So it's very possible that the Magi visited them in Galilee. They don't really know for sure. But the Magi came, they saw a star, they followed the star to the Messiah, Jesus, and presented their gifts. Okay. What happened next? Did things get more easier for Mary and Joseph? The ones who are going to give birth to God the Son, the King of Israel? Well, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again and said, you must rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, not another part of your country, to a whole different nation of Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, because Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now the king that's there, Herod, is looking to kill your child. Picture doing this at 15, 16, 17 years old. Pretty scary stuff for them. And Joseph took the child and his mother by night, departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Just another one of the many prophecies that were fulfilled in the person of Jesus. He is our peace. God is our peace. You think in the midst of all of that, they didn't have some opportunities to say, what is going on? Wait, no. God is faithful. He is in this. He's with us, Mary. No, he's with us, Joseph. We sense his presence. We've just got to trust him and obey and follow after him. Tons of opportunities for Mary and Joseph to have to learn that skill of returning to joy, returning to this, okay, wait, God loves us. He's with us. This is his son. He's going to make a way. As hard as this path is, he's going to make a way. Yeah. And Mary and Joseph had this peace while they continued seeking his direction, seeking the Lord's leading. There are times if God hasn't given you a clear path of what your next step in life is, do you just stop and wait? Sometimes you just got to keep doing what you're doing, doing what you know God calls you to do until God says, now go this way, or now go that way. You ever hear that? It's. You ever try to turn the steering wheel on a car that's not moving? It's hard to do, right? God is. We're much easier to steer when we're moving, and following after God. We have to just keep. And sometimes it's the simple things that we're called to do. worship. Pray. Seek after God. Be having that quiet, intimate time where we're listening for the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Sharing our faith. Serving others. Loving the people that are around us. Those are sometimes the simple things we have to keep doing while we are waiting for God to say, all right, now I have a path for you, and now it's this way. We have to keep seeking Him. Have to keep seeking Him. And those are just the simple daily things of obedience. Not real complicated. They don't require a college education. They don't have to have a certain type of personality, skills, or traits. You just have to pray, worship, read His word, listen for His voice, and God's faithful to meet us right there. Isn't it good to know you don't have to be like, you don't have to be like somebody on TV. They've got, all this, wow, they're so outgoing, they know so much about this or whatever it might be. God says, I just need you to seek me. When you seek me, you will find me when you what? Seek me with all your heart, right? He says, I promise you, if you will seek me, you will find me. It's good news. And just as a last thing, He is our peace, right? I want us during this time in our lives, in our country, to be a people that seek peace with people. Let us be a people that seek peace with people. How do we do that? Same thing, we return to the joy of knowing that I'm loved by God. God is with me in the midst of whatever this conflict might be with another person or situation. I am loved by God. And you know what else? They are too. I don't know if you got that, so I'm going to say it again. Peace is the joy of knowing that I am beloved of God, and so are they. We are all loved of God, all beloved. And we have to know that when we're looking at that person that we may be in disagreement with or have a difference of opinion. I know we don't have any of those these days. They are as loved by God as you are. And we have to treat them the way that God has treated us, right? What did Jesus say? So as I have loved you, so you must what? Love one another. The same way that I have loved you, you must love one another. In the same way that I've forgiven you, you must forgive others. This has gotten hard in our day and age, but it is absolutely what will set us apart as true Christ followers when people see the love of God in us. Now, does that mean that we don't have opinions? God has opinions. Got a whole book full of opinions, doesn't He? And they're true. And we are called to know them and follow them and obey them and share them with people, because what did our children's verse say? Blessed are those who what? Hear the word of God and obey. There is blessing. Every promise, every command of God is given to us for the purpose of blessing us. Walking in obedience makes us happy. So it's not that we're not supposed to have opinions or be able to talk to people or engage or share with them, interact with them, but we have to do it with peace and joy, knowing that I'm loved and you're loved, right? So everything you do, everything you say, run through that filter. Everything you post, my dear people. And I want to laugh and I want to cry when I say that because of the things that I see people put out. Not realizing that you are speaking of not only your family member, your neighbor, your coworker, your brother or sister in the Lord, this person who is created and loved by God. What are you posting? What are you tweeting? I don't tweet. I will never get a Twitter. I got enough passwords to remember. I can't do anymore. Yeah. Let it have within your communications with people, your interactions, the priority of God's love and his path of blessing and kindness and goodness and truth for them. He is our peace, not your opinions, not your ideas, not your plans, not your politics. That is not where anybody's peace is going to be. It is, he is our peace, and he is everyone's peace. And our desire is that we would point people to the God of peace, to the God of love, right? So let everything that you do and say be aligned with the love of God. And boy, it will be a lot more peaceful place. And you know what? That will help people to recognize that there is a difference. There is a difference in the people of God. And we have to make sure that we are walking a path of Christ-likeness, not worldly-likeness. Amen? Well, I just want to close. They took my clock down, so I don't know what time it is. It's a scary thing. Oh my, yeah, look at that. See, that's what happens when you take the clock down. I'm guessing when we undeck the halls in a couple of weeks, some of you will be here quick to put that clock back up. Well, peace is returning to the joy of knowing that I am loved. I am beloved of God. I am loved by God in the midst of my concern. I'm loved in the midst while I'm seeking his leading, his direction in it. God loves me and he's going to guide me and direct me. And as I walk in faith and obedience to him, he's with me. He's going to walk with me. He's going to give me everything that I need in the midst of this. And that's the peace that is available to each and every one of us. So I just want to take a minute and pray blessing over you as we leave today. And I pray that you take that peace with you. If that's something that is new to you, peace becoming yours is a very simple thing to receive. It is recognizing that my own sin has caused me to not have peace. My own choices have taken me out of step with God, and that the only way to get back in step with God is by saying, God, would you forgive me and help me to walk back in step with you. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make a way for us to be forgiven of our sins and put back into a close, right relationship with God. And it's as simple as a personal decision of saying, God, I'm not doing it my way anymore. All right, I'm going to start following you. I don't even know what that looks like just yet, but today I want to make that decision. I want to start following you. And he promises that he will begin to walk with you that moment. Lord, let's just bow our heads. Father, This peace that you've given us is beyond understanding, and it profoundly affects every aspect of our life. Thank you for bringing us this peace. I thank you for just blessing our time together as we come to Christmas and the Christmas Eve service and gathering with family and friends, Lord, that we would be ambassadors of a peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that work for us through coming as Emmanuel and dying as the sacrifice that you were on the cross at Easter time. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through us during this time. Bless the rest of our holiday season. We love you today, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. If that's a decision that you made today, I would encourage you to just grab one of those connection cards and just give me your name and a contact. I'd love to connect with you to help you know